Today we're talking about Stranger Things, and today I want to talk to you about heaven. I want to read a few verses, and then I'm praying today that God will do something as I'm reading these verses, that this will literally take place. I remember talking about Stranger Things and heaven. I remember one time I was in a Bible study, and we were all reading our Bible together, and it's interesting because anybody got a red letter edition Bible? Who's got a red letter edition Bible? Anything that's red must be red, right? Because a red letter edition, if you don't know, is any time that the words of Jesus are spoken, they're always in red. That's why it's called a red letter edition. And so obviously not much in the Old Testament, nothing at all in the Old Testament, but everything in the New Testament that Jesus said is in red. And I remember we were reading in a Bible study, Sharon and I had a Bible study in a house, what we call community group, which is why you should be in a community group, by the way. And there was an elderly gentleman in our house, and he just started weeping. And he goes, "I can see, I can see." And I know this guy really well. And I said, "Jeff, I know you can see. You've never been blind." He goes, "No, no, you don't understand." He goes, "I've been colorblind my whole life. And for the first time ever, I can see red letters on my Bible." And then I looked up and God has completely healed me of my color blindness. For the first time in my life, I see colors. Nobody prayed for him. No, just like we were just reading the Bible. And I'm praying that this verse I'm about to read, that God would open our eyes, just like he did with Jeff, only our spirit eyes. It says in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17, "For our light," everybody say light, "and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all." So we fix our eyes. Everybody say fix our eyes. We fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since, listen, what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. And so I'm reading that, and I'm going to talk to you about heaven. And I'm praying today that we would fix our eyes on not that which is seen. You see me, you see the screen, you see the chair, you see the person next to you, you see your house, you see the sky, you see the grass, you see your car. We see that which is temporal, but here the Bible says that we would fix our eyes on not that which is seen, but that which is unseen. And what it's talking about is heaven, our eternal glory. That we would have eyes that would be fixed not on this, that which is visible, but that which is invisible. Hebrews chapter 11, chapter 12, I love this. It says, "We are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses that have gone on before us, and they're testifying, saying, 'Come on, it's your day, it's your generation.' If I could pull open the roof here today, if I could pull open the sky here today, you will hear people and see people. If your eyes are fixed on that which is unseen, not just that which is seen, on that which is eternal, not just on that which is temporal, you would see all those who've died in faith, who've made it to heaven, would be saying to you and would be saying to me, would be saying to Wave Los Angeles, to Wave Chesapeake, 'Come on, you can grow that church. You can touch your city. You can do something great for God. You can build that business. You can have a blessed marriage. You can raise those children. You can do it.'" You say, "God, it's hard. Look what's in my background. I was a prostitute." And Rahab the harlot would stand up in the cloud of witnesses and say, "God used me and God can use you." You say, "Lord, nobody believes me." And Noah would stand up and says, "No one believed me, but it rained." Keep on telling people, don't give up. Come on. God, there's a cloud of witnesses. Sometimes we have people around us trying to tell us negative things. We got to fix our eyes on that which is unseen in the name of Jesus. And look what it says in 2 Peter, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. It says, "And God is the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you've suffered for a little while, Anybody hearing something here? It says our light and momentary troubles. And now it says, after you've suffered for a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong and firm and steadfast. The God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ. In other words, my prayer today is our eyes would be open to not that which is seen, but to what is unseen. That the reality of heaven would be something that is ever present on our minds. That we wouldn't just be making decisions based on the temporal. That even in terms of the challenges you're facing today, the Bible says are light and momentary. That there's an eternal glory. That there is something of heaven that we need to be thinking about. And decisions we make on a daily basis must be made in the context of eternity. Come on, somebody say amen. Joe Riddle talked last week about hell and how hell is a choice. Hell means justice overcomes injustice, and God's love demands that hells exist. Well, I want to talk today about this thought. Listen to me. We will spend more time in heaven than we will on earth. Did you hear that? And I know that if we live a good long life, we might live to 80 to 100 years. Some are even more fortunate to go on into the early 100-year age. But let me tell you, no matter how long you live here on earth, we will spend a whole lot more time, because there is no beginning and there is no ending in eternity. And that, frankly, let me tell you, when you weigh up the little time that we have here on earth, and the Bible says our life is but a vapor. Amen. When you weigh it up, no matter how bad, now how hard, no matter how challenging life is here on earth, compared to the context of eternity, it is a small, it is but a blip. It is just a moment. It is a nanosecond. And we will spend a whole lot more time in eternity than we will here on earth. I'm just trying to get you excited about heaven. I'm trying to give us perspective this morning of where your eyes are fixed. Because if your eyes are fixed on just that which is seen, you'll make decisions that are all temporal. But the Bible says, listen to this, even our light and momentary troubles are preparing us for an eternal glory. I talked to a good friend of mine. His name's Rob Koch. His son was tragically died in a car accident. He fell asleep and ran into a tree. And I rang him up and I wanted to talk to him. He's a pastor of a church. And I said, Rob, how you doing, my friend? And he said to me, Steve, he goes, never has been heaven more real to me than it is right now. And I'm hearing this man deal with the loss of his son, but the God gave him a revelation of heaven. He goes, I'm going to go see him. I don't know how people who don't know the Lord cope with those moments. But thank God we have an understanding that there is a heaven to gain, and that what we do here on earth will determine. Come on, what we do here on earth will determine whether heaven's more populated than hell. And frankly, what we do here on earth, the decisions we make here on earth will determine where our eternity will be spent. In heaven or in hell, which has no beginning and has no end. So now put that in the context of the life we live here, which is temporary, momentary, and just passing away. Come on, somebody say amen. There is life beyond the grave. We are more than flesh and blood. Look at this, Genesis 1. It says, in the beginning, God. How many are glad that God is in the beginning? How many are glad it wasn't Donald Trump? Praise God. How many are glad it wasn't Hillary Clinton in the beginning? In the beginning, it wasn't Republican and Democrat. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God, and as real as the earth is, which we now live in, we're in it, is as real as heaven is. God created both of them. Amen. We can see what is seen, but can you see what is unseen? Are your eyes aware of the many people have got a fear of dying? I'm not afraid of dying. Matter of fact, I welcome the day I go to be with Jesus. Don't get me wrong, I've got 3 grandchildren. I want to see them grow up. I want to see all that God's called them to do. Don't get me wrong, there's a lot of work here to be done on planet Earth. There's a lot of people that don't yet know Jesus. No wonder the Apostle Paul said, I'm trying to figure out what to do. He goes, for me to live is your gain, but for me to die is my gain, that I might be with Christ. No wonder Paul, he goes, I'm torn between the two. I don't know what to do. The reality of heaven and all that heaven represents and all that heaven brings and all that heaven is. Man, I just want to go and be in heaven. But it's for your sake I choose still to live here on earth, because there's more people to reach. There's more sermons to be preached. There's more churches to be planted. There's more businesses with a kingdom mindset. There's more that we have to do. So I choose to stay here on earth, even though I want to be in heaven. How many people have that kind of eternity in your heart? How many people are driven by that reality in Jesus' name? I've got no fear of dying. Matter of fact, I kind of think to myself, Lord, as long as I'm alive and as long as I'm healthy, I want to give the devil hell here on earth. But I understand that life is eternal. And I understand that here is temporal. And I pray today that when we think about our lives and the decisions we make and the choices we make, no matter how much we get caught up with wanting to fulfill our destiny, it's wrapped up in the reality of eternity in Jesus' name. Come on, somebody say amen. The Bible says, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world but forfeits his soul in return? Oh, I love this. God said, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God created them. John 14, verse 2, Jesus taught this verse right before he was crucified. He tells us that he goes to prepare a place for us. In my Father's house, there are many rooms. If that were not so, would I have not told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? Jesus is trying to talk to the disciples. He's about to depart. And he's about to depart. He's trying to get them to realize, listen, in my Father's house, there's many rooms. I'm going to prepare a place for you. He's trying to get our eyes off the things that are temporal, that which is seen. And he's trying to get us to understand that heaven is real in the name of Jesus. Luke 23, verse 43, Jesus answered him, truly I tell you today, you will be with me in paradise. This is the thief on the cross. And here he is, literally on his deathbed. Like literally at a point where he's about to die. It's never too late to give your life to Jesus. And Jesus says to this man, hey, you may have lived a bad and a hard life, but as you reach out to me, I tell you this day, you will be with me in heaven. Can I tell you, church, let's be people who've got heaven in front of us with every day and every moment and every decision. Let it be something that we are excited about in Jesus' name. I love it. Anyone can come to faith, even on their deathbed. Matthew chapter 18, verse 3, Jesus says, truly I tell you, unless you change and become like a little child, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Truly I tell you, unless you change. Some of you are sitting there going, oh, heaven, what's all this stuff? Well, listen to what Jesus said. Unless you change and become like a child. He's not saying become childish, but childlike. One of the things I love about children is their innocence, their openness. When you talk to them about something, they embrace it, they believe it. And here is Jesus saying, there's got to be a part of you that's got to be willing to change. You've got to understand that if you want to see the kingdom of heaven, you've got to become like a little child. You've got to have that innocence, that openness, that excitement. Some of us have been around too long. Some of us, you've been in the way too long. You need to get out of the way. You need to realize that there's got to be that openness, that childlike faith that says, Lord, I'm embracing eternity and I'm not just ruled by what I see in Jesus' name. So what is heaven? Number one, heaven is a place. Are you catching this? Just like Los Angeles is a place, heaven is a place. It's not some mystical spirit realm. It is literally a place that God created. Come on, somebody say amen. It is a place. Heaven, listen to this, is unlimited to time and to decay. God made it. And it's where we will live if we are Christians forever. Amen. 2 Corinthians, listen to what Paul says as he talks about heaven. By the way, I've been in the book of Revelation for the last couple of weeks. This morning, I just read again the first 10, 11 chapters of the book of Revelation. And I got to tell you, no wonder the Bible says, blessed is he who reads this book, not blessed is he who understands it. Dear God, you're listening to the book of Revelation. It's all talking about heaven and the four beasts and the 24 elders. And then, you know, there's all these seven spirits of God. And, you know, John on the Isle of Patmos has this revelation and the throne of God and the river of God and the seven different churches with the seven different messages. And I'm thinking, dear God, who understands this book? Like, John must have been... No wonder he was isolated. And so here, Paul just tries to give us some idea. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 1. And I go, he says, I must go on boasting, although there is nothing to be gained. I will go on to the visions and revelations from the Lord. Here's Paul, and he's going to talk about visions and revelations. It's like John on the island of Patmos. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up into the third heaven. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. I know this man. Whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, but God knows. Who was caught up into paradise and heard, listen to this, inexpressible things that no one is permitted to tell. I was thinking about the book of Revelation when John saw certain things and then an angel came and said, now, John, you can't write that down. This is a vision of heaven that is inexpressible, that is intangible, that is something that is not to be repeated. But I want to tell you, heaven is a place and we are going there if we know Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and it is indescribable, and yet the Bible goes to great lengths to describe it. And I just want to say to you today, come on, you are going to spend a whole lot more time in eternity than you are here on this temporal world. So if that's true, where are your eyes? Come on, where are your eyes? Paul wasn't permitted to even speak of it. Psalm 19, verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the skies proclaim the work of his hands. Oh, I love that. The Bible talks about God, and it says, the heavens declare. I mean, just step outside of the nighttime and look up at the sky and the universe and the stars. And the Bible says that God, listen to this, flung the stars at the casting of his hand. And here we are today, NASA and science still trying to discover the magnificent universe in which we live. That a Hubble telescope is still trying to see 2 billion light years away. And that's God's front yard. They haven't even tapped into his backyard. Can I tell you? The heavens declare the glory of God. Psalm 113. I love this verse. Every time I think of heaven, this is my favorite verse. It says, who is like the Lord our God, the one who sits enthroned on high? Watch this. Who stoops down to look on the heavens and the earth. Do you know the Bible says that when God made... How many think the heavens and the earth are pretty magnificent? Come on, every campus, how many think the heavens and the earth are magnificent? How many of you wouldn't raise your hand no matter what I ask you to do? Let me see your hand. There you are. See, there's a few of you. But the hell, I mean, you think about it. Just go into your backyard and look at the trees and creation. Just look at the earth and the dirt and the soil. Just look at the sky. Just take a look around you, the materials that God made, that which we live in this world. And let me tell you, the Bible says that when God made the heavens and the earth, he stooped low. It was almost beneath him. It was like, yeah, that's, you know, universe. Are you understanding what I'm saying here today? I'm trying to get some people here today to get excited about the reality of heaven and that we are going to go there, and we need to take as many people as we can, and we need to make sure that it's something that is present on our minds. It is not just some theory somewhere. Jesus taught us to pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. No, hallowed be thy name. He says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Come on. Heavens and the earth are unable to contain his glory. So I just want to say it again. Listen to me carefully now. What is heaven? Heaven is a place that God has set aside for everybody who knows him. And he's prepared a place for us. And what he has made, it was even almost beneath him in terms of who he is. Where is heaven? Heaven is a place that Christians go when they die. Did you hear that? It is a place. Listen to what the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 4. brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. I was talking to one of our military families this week, and in the military, a gentleman lost his life. And I said to this guy, I said, imagine people who have no hope. I was talking to him, and his father was a pastor of a church. And this guy was obviously one of the elite men of God that serve in our military. And I said, thank God for this young man that he knew the Lord. His father was a pastor. What? How do people cope? And the Bible, Paul says here, he goes, we're not to grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again. So we believe that God will bring, listen to this, with Jesus, those who have fallen asleep with him. According to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, this is speaking about the second coming, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven. Has anybody believed this stuff? Come on, do you believe this? With a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And after that, we who are still alive are left will be caught up together to meet them in the clouds and to meet the Lord in the air. And we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. When was the last time you ever encouraged someone about that? I was thinking about that verse, and I'm not so sure I understand the entire. That's what I said about the book of Revelation. Blessed is he who reads it, not understands it. But I think, well, if I'm reading that verse, at least this. I'm thinking, well, should Jesus tarry? And should he come while I'm alive? I want to make sure if I'm going to be caught up in the air, I'm going to grab two people who don't know Jesus. And I'm going to grab them, and when I go up, they're going up with me. And I'm going to say to them, do you repent or do I let go? That's what I'm trying to get us to understand. Heaven is real and so is hell. And let us encourage one another that we are going to be people who are heaven bound. We fix our eyes on not that which is seen, but that which is unseen. Listen to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51. It says, listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not sleep, but we will all be changed. Oh, I love it, don't you? Revelation 22 and 21, dear God, the river of heaven, the throne of heaven, all that heaven talks about, it gives the actual dimensions of heaven. Did you know that? And if you read it and the study I've done and the research I've done about the dimensions, at least of the New Jerusalem, it says here that if you work it out, that it's approximately, including it's 3,717,796 square miles. This is just the New Jerusalem with the walls that are 1,500 miles high, which is pretty amazing when you think about an airline flies at 2 to 3 miles above the earth. That this, and that's just speaking about the New Jerusalem, which, by the way, if you didn't know this, that area is approximately the size of the United States, including Alaska and Hawaii. And so now put that in context of this, that the Hubble telescope, 12 billion light years away is as far as it can see. Heaven is a place. It is the dwelling place of God. It is his throne. Can anybody say amen? His throne is there. Angels are there. It is where Jesus is seated at heavenly places. Look what Paul says to the Philippians. Our citizenship is in. Our citizenship is in. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, watch this, will transform our lowly, our temporary bodies so that we will be like his glorious body. In other words, when someone says, where are you from? What is your citizenship? The Bible says we are citizens of heaven in Jesus' name. The Bible says we're just passing through. Listen to what it says in Hebrews. It says, and all these who were living by faith when they died, they did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting they were foreigners and strangers on the earth. Some people are far more in love with the earth with no revelation of heaven. Some people are far more just making decisions based on temporary things, but the Bible says these people, these men and women of faith, it says they were foreigners and strangers on the earth. It says people who say such things, listen to this, people who say such things show they're looking for a country of their own. If they'd been thinking of a country they'd left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, and He has prepared a city for them. Man, I'm preaching myself excited. I'm thinking to myself, man, I'm just thinking about what Rob Koch said. I'm just trying to make sure as a pastor that I'm talking. We don't talk enough about heaven, but we will spend far more time in heaven than we will here on earth. Yet, what we do here on earth is so important. Because number one, the decisions that we make will determine where we will spend eternity. And then secondly, how we live and how well we live here on earth will determine whether heaven is more populated than hell. In Jesus' name. Amen. Turn to the person next to you and say, somebody needs to get excited. I know what's wrong here. It's very quiet. Well, who will go to heaven? Let me tell you, first of all, who won't go to heaven? Anyone outside of a faith in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone will not go to heaven. Thank you for the underwhelming response. Listen to what it says in 2 Timothy 4, verse 3. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. Man, if that time hasn't come, I don't know when it is. Amen. Listen to what it says in Matthew 7. Jesus speaking about who's going to get to heaven. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Do you know, people who are consumed with the temporary world that we're just passing through in, that means more to them, the eternal world. People caught up with the love of money. People caught up with the love of this world. People just caught up with you know, deceived by the devil himself. Listen to what it says here. I want to give you a verse. It says in John 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. John 14, verse 6, Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me, in Jesus' name. Let me tell you, a false religion, a counterfeit religion, anything that preaches is another way to heaven except through Jesus is a counterfeit religion. It is a false religion. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father. Come on, somebody say amen. Broad is the road. Well, whatever you're into, man, however you find God is good. No, no, no. Jesus said, he's the way. Narrow is the gate that leads to eternal life. Broad is the road. People say, Christians are narrow-minded. They can afford to be. Jesus said it. Come on, somebody say amen. Man. Who can get to heaven? Anyone who repents of their sins turns to Jesus. Amen. So people ask this question all the time. Is there time in heaven? My brother, if he went to be with the Lord, where is he now? Is he in heaven right now? And I understand the question, but I want to give you the best answer I possibly can. Because people ask that, and what you're actually doing is asking a question about something that is eternity where time does not exist. And so you're asking, if you like, a finite question about an infinite God. Now, can I just say this? I actually believe in that regard, God's even bigger than his word. Don't get weird on that. Don't get spooky. But just understand, God, who is infinite, has to describe himself to mankind in a way that a finite human being can understand who God is. So in a sense, don't misunderstand this, but God almost has to dummy down his word. Do you know those books like, you know, Mathematics for Dummies? This is like the Bible to understand. This is a finite human being trying to understand an infinite God. So we ask a question where is my brother? Where is my mother? Where is my father? If they've gone and they love the Lord. And the question is completely understandable, but you're asking a question about A when God's actually all the way to Z. And what it looks like is this. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus said, I am Alpha and Omega, says the Lord, who was and who is and who is to come. Jesus said, and the Bible says of Jesus in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, he says, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. So eternity is not ruled by time. So you ask the question, where are they now? They're in eternity, where there is no time. Does that make sense? The question is, did they know Jesus? I had somebody very concerned, and they asked the question, I don't know, my brother, committed suicide. I don't know if my brother's in heaven or in hell. I don't know. And I said, listen, have you talked to your brother about Jesus? Yes. You just don't know what your brother did. Like that thief on the cross, he could have reached out to God in his last moment. And remember, it's never too late. As long as there's life, there's hope. Come on. Come on. Someone say amen. But, you know, when I get to heaven, will I be married to the person I married in earth? And you're asking questions about what is seen in a world that is unseen. You're asking questions about that which is temporal in a world that is eternal. There is no yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He is all of that. He is Alpha and Omega. He's all of that at once. Is this helping anybody? And so, matter of fact, next week we've got, not next week, Sunday week, 2 weeks from now, we've got Todd Burko, who wrote a book called Heaven is Real. What I love about Todd Burko is I read his book years ago, and now they've made a movie about it. And to me, there's a lot of credibility to this story. And now there's been a book and a movie made about it. This man pastors a church, and his son died from a burst appendix. And when the son died, he was dead for, he'll tell the story. We're going to interview him. And his son came back to life, and the son said to the mother and father, oh, by the way, when I was in heaven, I met my sister. And the mother and father said, you met what? You met who? He goes, I met my sister. And they said, but how? You don't even know that they actually had a little child, but the baby died while she was still pregnant. And they never even gave the baby a name. And so they said to this boy who's now come back from dying and says he went to heaven and he met his sister, they said, well, they never told him about her. He didn't know about it. It wasn't until he died and went to heaven that she came up to him and hugged him. And they said, well, what's her name? He says, well, it's a funny thing. She didn't have a name because they never gave her a name. And then he goes, oh, by the way, I met Granddad. Granddad. He'd never met Granddad. Granddad passed away long before this child was ever born. They said, and they start pulling out photos of the grandfather that they remembered toward his elderly age. And then he kept saying, no, that doesn't look anything like him. That's nothing like him. And finally, one day, this little boy was in the photograph book and looking at the photos, and he goes, that's the man I met in heaven. It was the younger version of the grandfather. And I'm telling you, Sunday week, I'm just saying, I'm just thinking, heaven's real. And we want to get as many people as we can to heaven. So I want to encourage you. Let me tell you, someone maybe who's just, trying to deal with the realities of eternity, this guy is going to bring it big time. And so we ask questions based on time, based on now. But it's in time as we know it, but Jesus is in eternity. Amen? Heaven is a place where time doesn't exist. You don't get older. Will I be married to my wife in heaven? Time questions on this side of eternity. And I just want to say, I've got to head back to all of our campuses. My time is up. Praise the Lord. So I'm going to get all the campus guys to come on back up here. Singers, musicians, come on back. Do you receive the word? I just want to make sure that we at Wave Church here are excited about heaven. It's not something we fear. It's not something we dread. But the Bible says we're to encourage one another with these words. Now let's live here on earth. Let's occupy till he comes again. Let's make our lives count. But let it be driven by the reality of eternity. There's a better life. There's a heaven out there that is more real than the chair you're sitting on. God created the heavens and the earth. This is just the earth. Come on. And I'm just wanting to say, come on. Where are your eyes? Well, don't just let them be fixed on what is seen. But my prayer today is they're fixed on what is unseen. And am I talking to anybody here today? See, here's the question I ask you. God forbid, but if for some reason you died today, would you be confident you'd go to heaven? You know, sometimes I ask that question of people and they go, well, I don't know. I think so. I hope so. Well, the Bible, Jesus said, you must be born again. There's got to be a point in time in your life, and religion won't do it for you, because Jesus said that to a religious man. Come on. Obeying, being good won't do it for you. Come on. Your good works can't save you. But listen to this. It's a faith in Christ, in Christ alone. He is Alpha and He is Omega. He is the beginning and He is the end. He is who was and who is and who is to come. He is not limited to time. He is in eternity. Yet He works to us and He works through time to reveal Himself to us. I believe this is your time. I believe that God brought you here this morning. People online, people in Chesapeake. And I want to talk to you this morning about your relationship with Jesus. Do you know Him? Do you know, if God forbid that you should even die today, that you would know that you would be with Him, that you would be in heaven, that you would be going to heaven? You can be sure. You can be. Thank you for the underwhelming response. You can be sure. You can know. All you need to do is reach out to Him, just like that thief on the cross did. You don't know how bad I've been. Oh, come on. Jesus is not based on your works as to whether you'll get to heaven. We all need a Savior. We all need Him. That's why He came. Amen. If good works could have done it, going to church won't get it there for you. By the way, going to church is a good thing to do, but it won't save you. Sitting in church every week does not mean you're going to heaven. It's having a relationship with Jesus for yourself. I wonder today, if you know for sure that you're a Christian. I wonder today whether you know that you are going to heaven. You can be sure. And I want to give you that opportunity. Who's going to believe with me? People are going to meet Jesus. You're just one prayer away. You're just one. Jesus says, behold, listen to what He says. Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. And if any man hears my voice, He says, and welcomes me and opens the door of their heart. Listen to it. He says, I will come in. He's not going to kick the door down. Bang. I am Jesus. You will love me. He just knocks. And I believe He's knocking on people's hearts today. And I want to give you the opportunity. If you say, Steve, pray for me. I want to know. I want to be sure that I'm going to go to heaven. I want to give my life to Jesus. Maybe you once prayed a prayer, but you know today you're not living for God. And you want to get right with God. I just want to pray for you. In a moment, we're going to close our eyes and we're going to bow our heads. When we do that, that's your opportunity. When we close our eyes, when we bow our heads, if you say, Steve, I'm not sure. Steve, I don't know. Steve, I want to be sure. I want to know. I just want you to take your hand and I want you to put it up in the air high enough and long enough for me to pray for you. And once you've raised it, I'll know to include you in that prayer. Come on, church. Are you believing with me today, people? Are going to meet Jesus. People are going to find God. That's why we have church, isn't it? Is that why we have church? We didn't just come to sing songs. We came to worship Jesus, to open heaven, to magnify the Eternal One, the Alpha and Omega, the Savior of the world. We didn't just come for a little pep talk. We came to hear the Word of God, that our eyes would be open, our heart would be inflamed, that people would meet Jesus. That's why we're here. My friend, let's all close our eyes and let's bow our head. And friend, if that's you, and you say, Steve, pray for me. Steve, I want to give my life to Jesus. Steve, I want to know today that I'm right with God. I want to know that I'm going to go to heaven. Would you take your hand and put it in the air high enough and long enough for me to see it? I'll pray with you and I'll pray for you. God bless you. Keep lifting your hand. God bless you. God bless you. Come on, keep lifting your hand. God bless you and God bless you. Keep lifting your hand. Others here today that need to make that decision. God bless you right there. God bless you right there. God bless you right there. Come on, who else this morning would just lift your hand and say, Steve, you're talking to me. God bless you right there. I see that hand as well. Anybody else who will just lift your hands? Come on, this is my last call. God bless you right there. That gentleman, I see you. That lady right there, I see you. Thank you, sir. I see that hand as well. Is there anyone else who would lift your hand. Thank you, sir. On the floor here, I see your hand as well. Anybody else? My last call. Lift it now. If you haven't lifted it, I'll pray with you. I'll pray for you. Church, can we give the Lord a hand? There's another hand right there. Oh, no. If your eyes are fixed on what is unseen and not just what is seen, there's a whole lot of people that made a decision that they're going to go to heaven today. And that's not a golf clap. That's not a tennis clap. That's a heaven-shattering, hell-shaking. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to pray a prayer. Everybody, pray this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I ask you today to come into my life, to forgive me of my sins. I receive you now as my Lord and Savior. I believe in my heart. I confess with my mouth. Right now, I am a Christian. I am going to heaven. My sins are forgiven. Help me, Jesus, to live for you and to serve you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen.